You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough!
Well, who am I?
Sure enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kyla.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters. Issue 90 of Geek Watch 1.
90.
We got 10 left.
10 left.
Geek Watch 1 or Geek Watch 1.
That's right.
That's better.
That's right.
That's right.
It is about to go down.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And as you can hear, we're sitting here with Miss Vicky and Miss Dawn, as usual, but we are actually being joined by Mr. Andy Hopp.
Hey.
Woo! And in hizzy.
He is the semi-regular guest co-host.
Word.
The semi-regular fifth member of Geek Watch 1.
I've never been referred to as a regular before. There are many definitions of the word regular that don't apply to me.
But Geeksters, Kylan, we got 10 episodes till we hit number 100.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, we were saying this last week on the second anniversary show. We've been at this a long time.
We have.
2 years.
We have.
I got a lot more gray hair now than I did when I started this show.
I do too, but it's okay. You know, when you think about it, though.
Wait, where?
That's why people don't see this.
No. That's why he shaves his head. Right. If it comes in, it's white.
Like this, I don't have it up here.
It's all white. That's why he shaves
it. I got a white half-ro going on.
See, I just think about it. There's a lot of things that didn't make 100, you know? Or 2 years for that matter.
It's true.
You know, there's a lot. Like, Firefly didn't.
Oh.
If you don't bring up the bad. If you count all of the stuff that Firefly's put out, I think we have 100 of something. Because you start with the episodes, and then all the comic books, and the movie, and you get enough of it in books and everything else.
That's
you
true.
May have 100 pieces of story.
I would say that because, you know.
But it didn't make a second season.
No.
I'm trying to think. What else didn't make a second season?
No, we're good. Well, we can move on.
The new Arsenio Hall show.
Oh,
it didn't make a second season.
It wasn't worth the second season.
Knight Rider didn't make it to a second season.
What?
Or the new Knight Rider.
Well, the new one, that didn't count. That was horrible.
But, Easters, we do want you to stay tuned because we will have something very special for the episode 100. Yeah. As we figure it out.
It's going to be awesome.
It's a countdown to 100.
It's going to be huge.
Is it Geek Watch 1 erotic fan fiction?
That's on Tumblr somewhere. We'll post it.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be good. It's going to be...
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. We're doing big things.
Is it fantastic?
It's going to be fantastic. You know?
Well, now, at this point, we can't disappoint putting all of that on
no,
it.
No, we can't. You know,
Geek Watch has to
1,
be huge.
Yeah, but Geek Watch 1 never disappoints.
No, we never disappoint.
True. We come through with something.
Well, that's true, with something. And I would like to say there's a lot of geeks out there doing a lot of things. Like,
oh, yeah.
I hear Gary Gygax, he's doing things out there.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
He's done a lot of good, and people are really talking about him a lot more lately.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, dinner.
Give a shout out to my man Superman. I saw him at the barbershop this morning.
What? 34th edition's coming up?
What, D&D?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. That's like magic. It's like... I've been playing Magic since, like, 96.
Right.
And it's like, Magic's worse than Dungeons & Dragons when it comes to new.
Right.
Because you get 3 sets a year that are a totally different story than what you had before.
Right.
They are over 20 or 30 different sets of Magic that they put out. Because they've been going since 93.
Yes.
Every year.
Yeah.
At least 3 a year.
Yep. But see, I'm stuck when it comes to D&D, I'm stuck on version 4.5. I know it's... That's what I play.
Is there a 4.5?
Doesn't it say 4 is the worst one?
What do you mean, 3.5?
You're thinking 3.5.
3.5, 3.5.
3.5 in Pathfinder.
Hand me your geek card, sir.
3.5.
Nobody liked 4.
No more roleplay.
No, that's right. No, 3.5.
4 has people that like it. It's just, it's very much set up like video game style.
See,
and people who like that like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, no hate, but it's not my thing.
People like the more traditional.
What you call it? 5th edition's already out, though, isn't it?
Yes.
How is that? I mean, you're you are a game guy, you know, for this type of thing. Have you got a chance either to play it or to check it
out?
Well,
here's the weird thing. You know, I've been working in the industry now for 16 years.
Right.
And I never have time to play.
I know.
I've been making games for 15 years, and I haven't played D&D in probably 10 years.
Well, that's like, I've known you for 7 or 8 years now, maybe close to 10, I don't know what it is, but I have only played Low Life once. Ever.
Yeah?
Really?
Well, play at Con on the Cob, man.
I just say, we ever have time.
We have volunteers.
I know.
We can delegate.
That is the one thing I talked to Kevin at Con on the Cob this year. That's one thing I was talking to Kevin Stoner about this year, that it's weird that moving from volunteer to staff, all of a sudden, you actually have free time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
You go to do something, and there's 3 other people that jump in there and do it in front of you because they're volunteers, and that's what they're there for.
It's like, wait, we don't have to set that up or clean that up.
You name drop the legendary Kevin Stoner. We should let the fans know he's the legendary supervillain known as the Raffler.
Yes.
That's his alter ego. We just outed him on the air here.
He even had the dollar bill
smoking
jacket. He had the costume, giant gold dollar sign hanging from
his
neck.
That's how you know he's a legit supervillain.
Yes. That's right, Kevin. If you're listening to this, much love, brother.
That's what we got. At some point, we should sit down with a couple of the staff members we've not had.
That's a brilliant idea.
Closer to kind of way back in October or something.
Because the volunteers and the staffers have a completely different, like, you get that behind the scenes.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
View of what is kind of the magic, if you call it magic,
that's cool. But you know the thing this year though, we got to hype this up because the people need to understand 3 words about Con on the Cob this year. You know what those 3 words are?
What are
toga,
they?
Toga, toga,
toga. Toga, toga, toga.
Just saying, y'all.
But you can't say it, toga, toga.
You can't just say it like
toga, 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 toga. That's 4 words, but it's the same word multiple times.
Yes.
Anyway, Geek Watch 1 party in the his house. Is it called his house if it's ancient Rome? Did they have his houses back then?
I don't know.
They had versions of his
house. In the Fazorum.
Can we watch one in the bathhouse?
The bathhouse.
Can we call it the Acropolis? Can we call our party space the Acropolis?
Wasn't the Acropolis in Greece?
Huh?
The Acropolis was Greece, wasn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The theme is in ancient Rome. It's the gods of Mount Coblympus.
Yeah.
So it's all like, you
ancient
know,
everything.
Ancient mythology. Throw some Norse jazz in there if you want to. Whatever, it doesn't matter. You kind of have like an Odin thing going on, Ken. Seriously, if you wore an eye patch.
You could do a Viking thing
for the toga party.
I am a Viking, though.
Yeah, yes. There you go.
That's an interesting topic. Yeah. If we were all ancient mythological gods, which ones would we be based on, you know, who we are now?
I don't know. Vicky would have to be Loki.
Okay. Yeah, Loki.
She's all mischievous and you never know what she's going to come up with. She's always distracting people. I don't know.
What about Kylan?
Dionysus. Yeah, I know.
Dionysus was kind of what? I don't remember exactly.
Drinking.
Was that partying of drinking?
Partying of drinking.
Okay.
You're not quite there.
I don't know.
That's only on New Year's Eve and Con on the Cob party.
Right.
It's not a general.
I don't know. We're on the lobby, got
it. I don't know, man. Let's think about this. We'll come back to it.
We do have a couple things we want to cover on the show here.
Yes.
Coming to you later this show. Now, we were talking about Geeksters and how awesome that is. Geeksters spread their geekdom. We actually have Lund. What? I don't remember what that is.
It's a fuzzy ball.
What is that?
We have
fuzzy ball. Did you find that under the couch?
Councilman from San Jose, California. Anybody who saw in the news.
It looks good.
This is the guy.
Coconut?
This is the guy that got sworn in to office in San Jose as a city councilman carrying Captain America's shield.
That's right.
Yeah.
And as far as we know, we're the only podcast to get this guy.
I think so.
Did you? I didn't listen to the interview yet, but I have one question. Did he ever give Captain America back his shield? Or is Cap walking around shieldless?
He's saving it for the moment. He's hanging it on the wall of his office.
Yeah. He wants Cap to come to his office.
So is Cap using that old school like triangular shield?
I think the actual shield looking shield.
Right.
Well, technically, there are multiple versions of it. Technically, Cap gave up the shield
in the movie.
In the movie,
yeah, but in the comics, isn't he not Cap right now either?
No, he's Cap.
Falcon's Captain America, isn't he?
There's two Caps.
There's
now
two Caps.
Oh, okay.
There's
Steve Rogers is Captain America, but he has a version. He has a kicked up version of the triangle shield, but it has like a laser blade on it.
But
so his is like Coulson shield.
There's an issue. There's an issue with Steve Rogers' Cap right now, though, because he may be a Hydra agent. So
yeah,
there's a whole other thing going on, and we don't need to get into it.
Well, the funny thing is that anybody who doesn't read comics is like, well, how can there be two Captain Americas? It's like, this is not a new thing.
Read your comics, kids.
For years, there's 57 Green Lanterns out there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's been two Flashes for multiple
titles,
years.
Titles, not people.
It's a military designation.
Exactly.
And the U.S. government can designate whoever they choose.
Hate to burst your bubble, but Bucky has been Cap at one point.
Yes. Yeah.
So even Winter Soldier has been Captain America.
Well, there's been, what, 5 or 6 Captain America?
Yeah,
really?
8, 9.
9, yeah. Yeah.
9, yeah.
So, but we're going to have Lund Diem on here, City Councilman for San Jose. Kylan and Dawn sat down and had an awesome interview with him. Mm-hmm. That's going to be towards the end of the show.
They're still sitting down.
Yes.
Just no longer talking with them.
Yeah. We're going to have Andy talking in a little bit about, we got Oddball next week.
Yeah.
Or it's actually this weekend.
This week, as of this
weekend.
Yes.
So we're going to, yeah. Andy's got some stuff
Let's
about
talk
Oddball.
About it, but before we get to that one thing,
what?
This is just a pet peeve of mine. Not anything bad.
What people, I do this time?
No, you didn't do anything. You did it right because they're actually sitting down, right?
Oh, okay.
But people, I'll see like interviews with people online.
Yeah.
And the caption will be like, I had a chance to sit down with Don Toles. And I'm like, I saw you. You guys were standing in the hall. No one was sitting down. So why do you have to say that? Why don't you say, I had a chance to interview Don Toles instead of, I sat down with, you didn't sit down. If you sat down, then say you sat down. But if you didn't sit down, I don't want to hear about you sitting down. Am I right about this?
Would the same thing apply if you said, I had a chance to grab coffee and talk with, but you had tea?
Well, if you say you had a chance to, that's a little different. Because, like, yeah, you had a chance
well,
to.
Well, yeah, well, you just
everyone
said,
had a
yeah.
chance
to sit down with Dawn. Just
okay,
said,
well,
dead.
Maybe I'm wrong, then. Maybe I need to be corrected.
Because
that's true.
But in the end, does it matter?
It does matter. You're an editor. Of course it matters. It's just, no, it doesn't matter.
I thought it doesn't matter at all. He's just calling it like he sees it.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
I'm saying, that's why people like me, because I say it like it is. I'm
Andy
not afraid
want these
to tackle
facts.
The hard issues. You know?
We don't use alternate facts.
And he's a truther. He needs
that's
the truth.
Right. But I don't feel it's necessary to censor myself. You know what I'm saying? If I want to talk about people having a chance to sit down with other people, and those people didn't actually sit down, as long as they say they had a chance to, that's cool. But if they just say, I sat down with Kylan, no, you didn't!
Well, before we get into all
is
that...
Is
that
yes, okay.
Is that like the Bowling Green Massacre?
No, we're not talking about that.
We're going to keep that stuff off of here. We cover geek news here.
Yes.
This is a geek news show. But also, we have geek happenings, because you guys actually went somewhere yesterday and did some stuff.
We did.
Oh, yeah, we stayed busy all day yesterday.
Then we know that feeling. We'll tell you about ours in a minute.
We
had our... Saturday was the Akron Family Reading Festival.
Yes.
It was the 10th annual festival, and I believe we can say that the Rubber City Book Posse has been there 9 of the 10 years we've taken part.
Yeah, because there was one year
when they first started outdoors, and we actually went to that first one with a wagon full of books and walked around Lock 3 with a wagon full of books giving them away.
I think you should still use the wagon, but you just have to buy more wagons and tie them together like a train.
A hell of a lot more wagons. I think we've done 9 of the full 10 years they've done it. Yeah. So last year they gave us a third table. This year they gave us a fourth table. We had 4 banquet tables full of books.
I had 9 of them, 12 of them.
Vicky had something. Something.
You should do that and do a caboose and put your dogs in the caboose.
Make you train
in the library.
Yeah, the library.
Oh, why not?
But we had it started at 10, finished at 3, and we were fairly busy the whole time and gave away kind of more than 1,500 books. I know that.
Awesome.
It was we had probably somewhere around 2,000 books. We did have to take a few boxes home, but we always
did. I think
do.
I came home with 12 or 15 of them.
Yep, Andy took some books from us.
And we were planning on coming over, but we were kind of out of town.
Yeah.
We'll tell you guys about that in a minute.
The festival
in general went well, and they had a good turnout for everybody, and we got rid of a lot of books.
I preached the gospel of the adventure novel.
The interesting thing was Kylan was over at the kids' end of the tables.
Yeah.
Trying to quote, sell these books to kids.
Yeah.
but there was one kid who said he loved ninjas and stuff like that, and Kylan was like, well, how about this book on castles?
Yes. Ninjas and castles are similar.
There were castles in feudal
exactly. Japan.
The kid did take the book.
So.
I heard Kylan offer an Animorphs book like 6 or 7 times.
I didn't, but you were like,
"Do you like Animorphs? I think we used to have one here on the table. I don't know where it is. I don't think we have it anymore. But do you like Animorphs?
Kylan didn't manage to get rid of. We had a few foreign language books that
I got rid of two of.
We did. I took a German language. Something about yes. Der Flugenschnabben.
Yes.
I don't know what a Der Flugenschnabben is, but I think it lives underground.
You never know what people will want to take, and we got rid of quite an interesting collection of books.
Andy took the German language one so that he can come up with some more names for some of his monsters.
That's right.
I want to teach myself German.
Yeah, you know.
That's right. One time, this is an aside here, but there was a fella where I used to work. We made, it was a graphic design firm, and we did, like, church directories and all that kind of stuff. There was this fella, Dr. Zeta, that came from the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Nice.
He was the, a priest, but he was also the president of the school, the Christian University of the Congo. And he came over, I don't know where this story's going, but we'll get there. He wanted me to design the diplomas for the school.
Okay.
And, of course, he didn't want to pay for them, because that's how it works.
Was this before or after Vietnam?
No, this is actually a true story.
Yeah, this was real.
This is way after Vietnam. I mean, Vietnam existed while this was happening, but the war was over. I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, Dr. Zeta! Right on!
Yeah.
He spoke French and English, because French is the national language right. of mm-hmm. the former Zaire, which is where he was from. And he said that if I could make it to the graduation ceremony, he would give me an honorary doctorate degree from the Christian University of the Congo. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to impress him, and I'm going to learn French over the weekend so I can talk to him on Monday. So I set myself to learn in French over the weekend, and when he got there, I ordered a cheese omelette.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm like, omelette du fromage. And he's like, do you speak French now? And I'm like, huevos rancheros. Oui, oui, senor. And it was awesome. So now I speak French is the short story. And I didn't awesome. Make it to the ceremony because I didn't have a malaria vaccination in time.
Oh.
And because, you know, going to Africa is kind of expensive.
A little bit.
And there were other factors as well. But long story, just a little bit longer, I did not get that honorary doctorate degree.
But you know some French.
But if you want to call me doctor, you're welcome to.
Okay.
Because it's honorary.
That's right.
Because I made diplomas.
So how many people do you think actually were there that you guys saw come through, or just a general estimate?
Oh, honestly, there were absolutely hundreds of people there,
yeah,
possibly a couple thousand. I mean, it went through the course of the day, and it was family oriented, so there were tons of kids. And there were massive, there was Paddington and a couple of minions and
Squirrel.
And there was a squirrel from, like, what was it, Buckeye
something
school system. Or,
which is weird
know.
Because they probably chose a squirrel because squirrels eat nuts and a buckeye is similar to a nut. But buckeyes are poisonous.
Exactly.
So they're trying.
Well, isn't a buckeye a type of nut?
I think so, but
it's just nuts.
You're not supposed to eat them.
Not supposed to be edible?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless it's with peanut butter and chocolate kind.
There is a way you can cook it just for, you have to cook it just
yeah,
right that you can
those,
make it
yeah.
edible.
But squirrels
but
don't
do
that.
You got to do a lot of work
exactly.
making it edible.
Exactly. Squirrels cannot eat buckeyes is what it comes down to.
I mean, we may, you know, yeah. citation needed because I'm not
but
positive.
But it was cool. Like,
that,
there were all sorts of groups there and everything, and there was another group that had new books, and every child was allowed to take one book. So every child that attended that went to the table got one new book for themselves.
Nice.
You know, so they had that, and actually we had people come down from that near the end of the festival to thank us for being there because they would send families down to us knowing that we had a bunch of kids' books as well as adult books, and so mm-hmm. the parents could get books for themselves too. So it was quite a busy day.
Cool.
Yeah, it was. Although the last time this happened had to have been the first time that they moved it to the main library. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, all of a sudden there's this rush of people.
Yeah, we're trying to pack things up around 3, and then all
yeah.
of a sudden there's like 20 people
That's
around
the way
the tables
it works,
again.
Though. Yep.
And we're like, okay, you can open the boxes and look, but we're going to keep packing as you do.
Right.
But yeah, so it went pretty well.
Cool.
It was good. So what did you guys do?
We went out to Pennsylvania, to Greensboro, Pennsylvania, which anybody who doesn't know from us, it's on the other side of Pittsburgh. About 45 minutes past
yeah,
Pittsburgh, so it was about
south,
what?
Southeast.
About 2 hours, 45 minutes to drive out there?
2:15, it wasn't
yeah,
that.
It would have been 2:15 if we didn't make any stops.
Right.
And Ken has to pee a lot.
But we'll give a shout out to our friends, Neil and Sherry Dragovich. They took us out there from Unique
Represent.
Inspired Gifts. I got the name right
you
this time.
You got the name right.
Two shows ago, we messed it up. It's Uniquely Inspired Gifts. Check them out there on Facebook.
What did you call
Facebook
it last time?
I couldn't remember exactly
Uniquely
what,
Yours. Yeah, you got the unique part right, okay. But that was, yeah.
Yeah, but I told Neil I'd get it fixed and have it on here. But we went out there with him to an anime festival. It was actually the Anime Mini Winter 2017. And the reason Winter's on there, this is a guy who, this is a brand new show. This is actually the first show of the second year of doing this. And it's actually his fifth show.
How is it a brand new show if it's his
fifth
show?
Well, it's only been around.
Year.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's only been around. He's done five shows, but it's been one in a year and a couple of months.
Right.
So he's trying to do this quarterly in the same building, and it's a very small building. It was okay. It has a lot of room for improvement. There was like three rooms total. There was a nice, big, huge auditorium that would have been perfect for whatever they want to do, but the other two rooms were kind of on the small side. There was about five vendors in the vendor hall, and it was all your normal anime fare. There was, so you can get all the messenger bags with the stuff on it, all your plushies, all that type of stuff, some different trading cards from the different animes. Then that was the bigger of the two other rooms they had. The other one, they actually tried to fit all the gaming, the video gaming, and the panels all in that room. And that's where it kind of got a little crowded. Because it wasn't that big of a room. They had like 2 8-foot tables for five consoles and the TVs to go with them.
No.
And everybody's sitting around watching the games.
So, what was the age range like?
That's what, anything from
15 to 21.
Yeah. So which is your normal anime convention.
Yeah.
The average age is right in there. Now, you'll get some people that are old people like us.
Down
and
right
you'll get some younger
you
people.
You
had
out of curiosity
there.
More than anything.
Yeah. It was fun to see because we've been to a couple of other anime festivals that were a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. So, and like ZipCon here in Akron, which we didn't get to go to last week, but we're going to try next year, especially since GHD is moving.
But Andy, you went to that.
I did go to ZipCon. I could talk about ZipCon if you want.
Yeah, we'll get... Actually, we do need to get a... We didn't talk about ZipCon, mm-hmm. but Andy was there, so we'll get to that here in just a minute.
Word.
So, but we stayed there about an hour, hour and a half. And it's like, you know what, there was not a whole lot going on. We're like, you know what, let's...
But it's a small town,
yeah.
So if you're a small town and you're an anime fan nearby...
Exactly, right. If you're in Greensboro, it's something worth doing.
Yeah. Which is what works, because, you know, being in the vendor room and listening to, like, the kids and stuff, you know, they're saving money up, getting, you know, come in a couple months, they can get what they want.
Yeah.
Like,
and given that age range, it's not like they can drive too far to mm-hmm. get to other cons and stuff, so it's kind of like a little something for them.
I know they did have, we didn't stay long enough, but they were having, they had a 2-hour block set off in the main auditorium for on the stage doing a Mario Kart tournament.
Okay.
So, and like I said, with the age range of 15 to 21, that, you're right in the wheelhouse for that.
Right.
So they did have a cosplay competition later in the day, and there was cosplay everywhere. Probably every third person there was in a cosplay of some sort.
Nice.
So... But like I said, it's your normal anime stuff.
There was even a guy training a dog. We're not sure what, but there was a dog being.
Yeah, there was a puppy that he was training, so he had him run through the crowds to get him used to it and all that stuff. But after that, we actually we had even more fun when we went out to Langolier, Pennsylvania. Have you ever been out there, Andy?
Langolier, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's out by Idlewild Park.
I have not.
There's an old French and Indian fort out there. That's where the town gets its name, and it's it's basically a tourist town. So it's one of those that has the town square, and everybody parks around there, and you walk around to all the little shops and things.
Okay, that's
we went. I did want to give a shout-out to, what was that, Toy Soldier Gallery mm-hmm. that we saw there, which was basically a mini store.
Yeah?
It was a wargaming store, mostly.
Okay.
So they had some cool stuff in there. It wasn't all that super big, but they had a good selection for wargaming.
And games and a bunch of other
stuff. Yeah, they had a lot of your board games and stuff also on the one wall, but that's because any store that has hobby and games is going to carry most of your board games and stuff also, but he, like I said, his was mostly on the wargaming and that type of thing, which there were some awesome models and figures and stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
But also there was like a Native American shop in the town. They had your creamery and
it was nice, and it was a perfect day to walk around. I mean, it was a little chilly, but it was nice to get out and walk around and look at the antiques, look at the Irish store and some other.
That was the one that impressed me was there was a, Celtic Isle something or other is what they called it, but it was a store that was selling Irish and British Isles merchandise.
Okay.
And it was a lot of clothing, so you could get your kilts, you could get the smoking jacket and the vest that goes underneath, like the Irish that you're thinking about, that was there. They had all kinds of hats. Neil loved checking out the hats and stuff. You can get bowler caps, they had any kind of like British-style hat. Nice. A lot of the foods that you can't get here, the import food stuff they had there. They had like a rack with, the funny thing is, they had a rack with all of the house crests and stuff for what your name was. And my name was there, but that's not my house crest. Because I found out a couple years ago, my family actually came over from Denmark and changed our name to Rose when we got here.
Ah. So he is Viking.
So I actually am a Viking.
Sweet. What was your name before?
Rusa.
Okay.
RUSSA. Mm-hmm.
It kind of means the same thing.
So, but that was a fun shop. They had a bunch of really cool stuff. They had, like, all your footballer stuff for all the soccer teams. Yeah. And all the city clubs and all that stuff were all there.
On a similar note, if I may interrupt.
Yeah.
My last name, Hop, is a shortened form of the previous name that it was
before. Yeah.
When my ancient ancestors came over on the banana boat from Europe, our last name was Hoppensteinberger Meister in Tinford.
Well, it's good that they shortened it so much.
Yeah.
That made it a lot easier.
Growing up, it must have been
Hoppensteinberger Meister in Tinford. It doesn't even fit on the line on like, their spelling test.
I got to bring up the name. Then on the way back, we went back through Greensboro. But before you get to Greensboro, I got to look up the name of the town.
I got mine. My grandma always said that when she came here, she had to drop a name, but they gave it to me.
Oh, yeah? What was yours previously?
Well, hers was Ingeborg Teresa Victoria Ann.
Okay.
That was our original name.
Ingeborg is a cool name.
Oh, yeah.
Or Inga for short, yeah.
Yeah.
But we did stop in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, which was on the way back to home. And then I got to give a shout out to SCG Hobby.
My phone is ringing.
Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Corey and the guys out there were awesome. And this was actually, it's a shopping center, hobby and comic shop. And this is actually something I've noticed around here, but other places. It seems like it's, people are going a lot more specialized now. You have, like, a wargaming shop.
Right.
Or you'll have a general gaming shop. Or you'll have a comic shop that has toys.
Right.
But this actually had the comics and all your gaming and sports cards still.
Wow.
And they had a huge space. Mm-hmm. It actually probably, width was probably about double JC's.
Okay.
You guys
have
JC comics here in Niagara Falls.
Right.
And probably about twice to three times the depth.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So they had a huge gaming area in the back. There was a couple guys playing X-Wing minis. They had a huge case with all the cards in it. And then they had probably
it was a nice
4 8-foot tables with long boxes.
Right.
And they had all the figures. They had it was filled underneath. They had a huge selection of comics.
Nice.
It was a great shop to go to. I told Corey I'd give him a shout out because he's gonna check out all of our shows and stuff.
Nice.
And I told him he's got to come over and check out Oddball. He's actually friends with Neil. His Neil works at the airports doing some maintenance on things. And right beside that, I found it funny that the Arnold Palmer Regional Airport is right beside this place. I didn't know Arnold Palmer was from there, but I guess he's from Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
He must be.
Well, I mean,
that's the goal in life. Get an airport named after you.
That's right.
So, like, in the gaming area, like, did they have, like, a selection of games, like, they had, like, card games as well as on the bigger
most of the tables were set up with playmats for cards.
Okay.
But they were set up that you could play anything.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. It was, like, 4 or 5 rows of, like, 3 or 4 tables.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was...
This was set up so you could do some major card tournaments and stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the gaming shops, they're leaning towards the cards because that's what you come in and you pick up and play a game and that's it.
Right.
A lot of the gaming shops anymore don't do a lot of like D&D and stuff like that because that's takes a lot of space
and a lot
of
time. It's the shelf space that's a big deal. Yeah.
But the one thing I didn't see, I didn't look for it, but I didn't see a lot of like games that are there for demoing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, we know Underhill Gaming here.
They did have some on the end table.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was like 5 or 6 stacked. I don't know if they were someone
again,
else.
Again, that's a shelf space
there.
Issue,
yeah.
too.
Because I know, like I said, Underhill here, you could actually play a bunch of the games there, and then if you like it, you can buy it, and they have it for sale.
Right.
Which is a cool way to do it, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but I wanted to give SCG a shout-out. Those guys were awesome.
Cool.
They were able to look up a couple things that they didn't have the comics I'm looking for, but that's fine. They're going to be... I'm going to have fun finding these.
Oh, darn. How...
Means I got to go to more comic shops and look.
To go looking for comics.
But,
oh, darn.
Overall, it was...
That.
Even with the anime con not being what we expected, it was a fun day.
Yeah.
So, and we liked the... Like, walking through... the little town there, it was. We like that type of stuff anyway. It's always fun to just putz around through the little stores and shops and
see what's going on. Yeah, I walk in, the lady's like, what's on your head?
Yeah, Biggie had one of her new, the black hair piece thing that
right.
poops up. She's like, what is that? I've never seen anything like that.
Once I took it out, she understood what it was. She thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, Andy actually had to step out, so when he comes back, we're going to talk a little bit about Oddball.
Right.
But you said you have a couple of news stories.
I have. They're not big. There was not a lot of breaking news this week or anything like that. But a couple of them that are a little related, I just wanted to briefly mention, was some casting they got for 2 Marvel properties. They have cast Runaways.
Okay.
Most of they're younger actors and not necessarily really well known. Like, there's someone from Teen Wolf. There's someone from the newly revamped One Day at a Time. There's, there, you know, that kind of thing. So there's not a lot of, like, really well-known people, but they have cast, and Runaways is going to be on Hulu. They have not announced any kind of premiere date yet. For those who don't know the basic premise of it, it's a group of kids who kind of become their own version of superheroes when they find out that their parents are supervillains. They, you know, it's kids that have kind of grown up together and known each other because their parents get together for dinners and that kind of thing, you know, like you do when you're kids. Mm-hmm. Their parents always, you know, go into their own little room and do their thing. Well, they discover, the one kid discovers a secret passage in his house, and they basically go and spy on the parents at one point. This is like in the first issue of the comic. Mm-hmm. They go and spy on the parents at one point, and they see them doing these weird ritual kind of things and talking about all these villainous things and discover, oh my god. Yeah. But these kids actually do, a couple of them do have some powers. There's a telekinesis kind of thing and, you know, that kind of thing. So there are some superpowers involved. So they kind of become heroes in a way to try and stop their parents. And so it's kind of an interesting premise, both for the comic and for to do a show about.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, that sounds like that would make a really awesome show.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a really good comic. You can get it on the Marvel app. They have a lot of issues free already, because it's been going for a while. But
the cool thing with this is Netflix has all these Marvel shows. Mm-hmm. And they've started to build this grittier Marvel universe that you're not going to get on regular television. Right. This one's actually going straight to Hulu.
Yep.
So Hulu's making this. It looks like it's Hulu's first chance to try to make a legitimate superhero show for their streaming service.
And it is... It's obviously not going to be quite as dark as some of the stuff that's on the Marvel shows on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because it's got teenagers and stuff, but it's not a fun, bright show. It's still pretty dark. It's still serious. And so it'll be interesting to see how that kind of thing does on Hulu. And when we find out a release date, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
The other bit of casting was that they have finally cast Cloak and Dagger.
Okay.
The main characters are Olivia Holt and Aubrey Joseph. And they're not necessarily, you know, big names that you've heard of. Aubrey Joseph was on HBO's The Night Of, which was a pretty popular crime drama. And Olivia Holt was the girl on Kickin' It, if anyone watched that show on the Disney Channel about kids doing karate in a dojo and stuff. She was on that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah.
So you watch all the Disney shows with your kids.
She left that show for another show, but then that show got canceled.
Exactly.
And then she went back to Kicking
It. So now she's on this show.
Wait, that's Cloak and Dagger?
Yeah, Cloak and Dagger. She's going
and to be Dagger.
Okay. Who's going to be Cloak?
Cloak. His name is Aubrey Joseph. He was on the HBO's The Night Of.
Okay.
But yeah, so we've talked about Cloak and Dagger before. I just wanted to mention that they did cast it, and that's... coming on Freeform at some point in the very near future. That's the only, like, major thing I had. There was another thing that Kylan and I noticed when we watched S.H.I.E.L.D. the other night that I told him that, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that I told him there was an article about how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually fixed a plot hole from the Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, if you've watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know the current storyline is about LMDs, life model decoys.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And... the thing is, the one guy on it who supposedly created them, created Ada, has only recently done so, and yet in the Avengers, Tony Stark talked about life model decoys years back. So there was a big plot hole as to how that sort of thing happened.
Yeah.
Did you want to explain it? Because you're better at explaining the S.H.I.E.L.D.
So, okay, so in the Avengers, Tony being a Tony... answers, he leaves a voicemail saying, "You reached the life model decoy of Tony Stark, blah, blah, blah," right?
Yeah.
And so, the thing is, that we have, what's the guy's name? Dr.
Radcliffe.
It was believed that, you kind of had the feeling that Dr. Radcliffe created life model decoys because of Ada. But, if you go back to the beginning of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., going back to the first season, when we were introduced to Agent Koenig, you saw Eric, and then you saw other Koenigs. And so there were rumors that maybe the Koenigs were life-model decoys as well, but that was new. That was never confirmed or anything, right? So in this particular episode, because Agent Eric Koenig was killed season before
okay,
last.
Just in case just to be clear, the Koenigs are all the characters played by Patton Oswalt.
Yes. All right.
Except for the girl.
Except for the girl. You know, you need your lanyard. That's him. So, so what happens is we get the Koenig story. And in getting the Koenig story, we end up getting the explanation for why Tony Stark said what he said. The Koenigs, the brothers, except for one, were Tex and S.H.I.E.L.D.'s LMD program that they had mothballed. And Tony Stark was being a smart person towards S.H.I.E.L.D. saying, oh, you found, you know, you located the life model decoy. That's sort of like him thumbing his nose at S.H.I.E.L.D. over a failed program, because Tony Stark would have probably been consulted for that sort of thing.
Okay. So basically what it comes down to is there was a secret program to create LMDs
right.
years back that Radcliffe didn't actually even know about
no.
and created his own, so it was almost like separate
And he called
entities.
Them the same thing?
No, I don't think he actually called them that. S.H.I.E.L.D. ended up calling them that
Life
when they found out about
right.
it.
Right.
He thought it, actually, I think he's actually called her an android once.
Yeah,
he calls them androids.
But
on the show, they're referred to as androids.
Yeah.
That's what my dad calls me,
incidentally. It's true.
So basically, that's where it comes down to. Right. There were two projects that were existing to create artificial intelligent android kind of beings
right.
that were life model decoys. So they fixed the plot hole. It took a few years. But they fixed the plot hole in a movie, and now we're good to go.
Cool. So, and actually, you guys probably didn't watch it. Did you catch Powerless just to see what happened?
No.
I watched Powerless.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting. It feels a lot more like you're in the Batman 66 universe just because of the campiness of it. But I think it's got potential.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I like where it started so far. We're going to have to give it a couple more episodes. But I like the idea and the premise of the show and where they could take this if they do it. What was your...
I will give it a second episode.
Yeah.
But it followed very much along the lines of your standard sitcom.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't have anything original.
This was an office
It has actors I really sitcom. Like. I love Alan Tudyk and I like Danny Pudi, mm-hmm. or if that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
And the acting was fine. It's just, it felt... To me, it felt more like an episode of Saturday Night Live or some skit show
yeah.
than an actual show of its own. So I'll give it a try on a second episode.
Okay.
But if all I had to go on was that first episode, it was just like every other sitcom in the world, except not as good.
Yeah, I think the one thing with the writing they did do is they actually did make sure that you know this is in the DC universe.
Yeah, because the whole running joke that they used like 400 times about Bruce Wayne being
yeah.
his cousin...
Trying to get to Gotham.
That was kind of funny the first time you said it.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to keep on talking about it.
So I said, this is going to have to... The show still has to figure out what it actually is.
Yeah.
But most of your shows are like that. I mean, every once in a while, you get a show that, first off the bat, they hit the ground running, and they know exactly what they're doing. Flash did that.
Mm-hmm.
Flash knew what they were when they started.
Yeah,
and
but
they
there's a difference when it's a comedy.
Yeah.
Like, right. people won't give sitcoms a chance if they don't hit the
this
ground
running. This one felt to
doing.
Me like one of those Disney-style... like made for kids
yeah.
kind of sitcoms,
oh, okay.
like Kicking It, which but not as good as Kicking It.
Yeah,
you know?
Kicking It.
But it had that feel. Like there have been some really good ones. Like iCarly was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but this one just felt like that. Like I'm not the target audience because I'm not 12.
Okay.
So like I said, if it finds its way in the next episode or two, I think it's got a chance. Other than that, this may be a one season and done. We got to see, like I said, hopefully people give it a chance over a couple seasons and the writers can figure out exactly how they want to do this.
Mm-hmm. See, and I think, I'm just saying, just in general, a superhero comedy is difficult.
Yeah,
because...
Especially, I'm thinking, in the network realm.
Yeah.
Being on major network TV, you got a lot of people pulling in a lot of directions to get what they want on the air.
The other thing that I heard about this one, I can't remember, there's a Marvel show, do you guys know about this?
Damage Control.
Yeah.
That Marvel was going to do Damage Control, mm-hmm. and then DC's like, oh, we better beat them to the punch, so let's do Powerless, but it didn't really feel
like
they
Well, the
thing
is, Damage Control actually is its own existence in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
It has had comics, and everything. Powerless has nothing to be based on.
That's what I mean. Like it felt rushed. Yeah. Like DC's like, we need to get this out before Marvel does so that we can be the first ones.
And it handed it to the wrong people.
It felt like it. It really, it was like, you know, person getting a new job style sitcom and throw in some superhero jokes.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it.
Well, see, I think what would be interesting is if they would have given this to Greg Berlanti's company, let him do a half-hour sitcom and see how he could do that with what he's done with so far.
Right.
And actually, in the Berlanti realm, did you guys hear about Black Lightning, what's happened so far?
Yeah.
That Black Lightning, now, anybody who didn't know, Fox had actually ordered a development for a Black Lightning TV series.
I don't even know who Black Lightning is.
He started in the 70s. It was, you remember Greg Vulcan was Super Friends?
Yeah.
Same character. Okay. This is the
created by
version.
A guy from Kent, Ohio, and that's why he's got a Black Lightning.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he looked like the Golden Flash.
Yeah. But why is he Golden Lightning?
Because he's black, so he has to be black.
Right. Oh, he's actually a black dude. That's how it is.
They wrote up the pilot, and Fox ended up passing on it.
Yep.
So there's actually a really good chance that the CW is looking at this.
Unfortunately,
it's going
to go to the CW again.
Well, there's no guarantee yet. No one's got a pilot over yet.
Maybe Netflix instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with this, because CW said already at the beginning of this year that they're not looking for another show at the moment.
Well, don't they have one superhero?
Yeah, but you know, that's what...
Only four.
Only four, there you go.
Not looking for another show doesn't mean they won't accept one
if a good one comes along.
That's like every girl you ever ask out. That's like, I'm not looking for a commitment, and like, until you find the right person.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's where CW has found themselves in.
Yeah.
With the shows they have, because we've all admitted that whether or not you really like that, most of these shows are quality shows. Even if it's not in your realm for the superhero shows. So it's like Supergirl. Yeah. They weren't planning on getting Supergirl.
Right.
But when it came available, you're like, well, we'll grab that and put it in here.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of black superheroes, I was answering the phone when you were talking about news. Did you give the Aquaman news? Did they cast Black Manta?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't hear that news.
Now, I butchered his name. Do you remember the actor's name?
No.
I butchered it on DC Superpower.
His name is the guy who's playing Black Manta.
Yeah, yes. Give me just a minute. Also, Nicole Kidman is rumored to be in talks heavily to be Aquaman's mom.
Aquaman, right.
Yeah. I gotta look up the...
And the one who played, is it Jango Fett?
Yes, Tamir Mortensen.
Is rumored to be possibly a parent of, I don't know.
Okay.
Something in Aquaman as well. I saw his name pop up on something.
I gotta bring up my notes so I can actually find the
Well, that would actually make sense, because Nicole Kidman is very pale, and you know, she has red hair and everything. And, what's his name, Jason Momoa, he's kind of a swarthy, dark guy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he kind of makes sense if his dad was swarthier, too. Like, Temuera Morrison is New Zealand Maori.
Okay.
Maori.
It would make more sense if she was the queen's mom, because... Is it Mira?
Mira, yeah.
The one, yeah.
Well, no, Aquaman's mom was a princess of Atlantis.
I know, we're talking about looks.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about genetics.
Pale skin.
Genetics.
Okay. Well, I have the name of what...
But you got to think, Jason is like one of the few male actors that's actually taller than Nicole Kidman.
Also, makeup exists.
Exactly.
There we go. Now,
they do have spray tan. They can do it.
Yeah.
Okay. No, the name of the guy who they have that's actually signed on is Yahya Abdul Mateen II.
That's right.
It's Y-A-H-Y-A.
He answers all the cliffhangers from Yahya Mateen I.
That's right.
No, that actually probably is probably Yahya Abdul Mateen II. So.
Cool. You should have him on the show.
That's right.
You know what? All we got to do is make a phone call.
Yeah.
Kylan can just make a phone call.
Kylan makes things happen. That's like, you're like, Kylan, can you do this? You're like, I'm on it.
Well, make a phone call, man.
Now that Andy's actually back, obviously.
Hey.
Andy, what's going on for Oddball next week?
This week.
Yeah, this weekend.
Holy cow, it's Saturday.
Oh, we didn't. Real quick, what was ZipCon all about? What was it like?
All right, ZipCon is an anime con run by... I can't remember the name of the group.
It's the University of Akron.
Yeah, University of Akron's Anime Club. It was fun, man. We went there. It was a free show. It was busy, crowded. There were tons of various types of geeks in attendance. You had a lot of cosplay, as you'd expect, which was awesome. There were a lot of furries there, which was pretty cool. My daughter, Ileana, you know, is a furry, and that's why she wanted to go. And she didn't want to have, like, the whole dad tagging along experience, you know. So I took her there. She wore one of her fursuits. And I kind of schmoozed with people. There were a lot of people that we know through Oddmall and stuff. And then I played a couple of games with my man Jeff. The boy, Jeffrey, as he's known. Sometimes if you're saying, you can call him Jeff, but that's boring. You'd be like, duh, 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 like that. You start stumbling and say, the boy, the boy, Jeffrey! Like that. That's how you talk about Jeff. He's actually upstairs in my bathroom right now.
Do you at least drop off water and food for him?
he's
putting, locked up there.
He's grouting some tile in the shower.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
So to speak.
That's what the kids call it nowadays.
If you know what I mean. He's grouting some tile. All right, so anyway, it was fun. We played this not-so-great game called the Logo Board Game, which was basically a how many TV commercials do you watch kind of game. It was like, you know, here's a picture. Whose logo is this? And, you know, that kind of stuff. Or how many licks does it take to get to the center of the thing represented by this logo? That kind of thing. But then we played Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard
The
Haunt
happened.
Game.
It's a good game. I ended up being the traitor.
Oh!
It was pretty cool. But then I was running late for dinner, so we didn't actually finish the game. But it was pretty cool. Like, I got possessed by an evil puppy. That was super cute. It's like soulful gaze, like, made me do evil things. It was pretty cool. It was fun. We had a good time. And ZipCon itself was good. I mean, there were a lot of people there, as you expect from a free show. But
yeah, especially at the university. So you probably had a lot of college kids.
Yeah, exactly. I heard a lot of good... Okay, here's the thing, though. My one little rant about it is not about the show at all. It's about the people at the show, right? They got in for free.
Yeah.
And I overheard several people being like, I got to pay for lunch. And they were all complaining that they had to go to the food court and buy lunch. I'm like, you got into the show for free.
How? What convention
yeah,
do you go to that they
feed
college
you? Kids.
I know. Other than Con on the Cob, who
But feeds people
you?
Were like, man, like, I thought this was supposed to be free. I'm like, it is, but you know, it's like the last Oddmall show. People were bitching, complaining. What was the
Geek okay,
Watch 1
can...
approved?
Just keep going.
People were angsty. They had to pay for parking. I'm like, you're getting into a show for free. You're getting 2 days
you don't have
of
to pay
shopping
for parking,
and entertainment.
You just gotta park 3 or 4 blocks away.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't mind walking a couple blocks, you get free parking. If you want to park right on site, it costs you $5 or $6. So what, man? You're getting into a show for free. That's my complaint. But anyway, ZipCon was fun. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Yes.
And now on to Oddmall.
Yeah, now on Oddmall. What do you got announcements for new stuff that we got
in
going
a couple of days?
I know there's all kinds of stuff going on this weekend.
1 week from yesterday is DreamWorldCon, which is a co-production of the Canton Museum of Art and Oddmall Expedition Elsewhere. This one is the first Oddmall show and the only Oddmall show that actually has an admission fee. And the reason for that is the same reason why we called it DreamWorldCon instead of Oddmall, because all of the admission fee goes to benefit the Museum of Art. And it also allows you into the museum, which is normally $8. So you pay $5 to get in. It lets you go to the museum and see the awesome Dream Worlds, the art of imaginative realism show that's going on there right now. For only the low, low price of $5.
There is some very awesome artwork
there
too.
Sure
I see they've been posting a lot of images.
It's a fantastic exhibit. It's normally $8. So here you get all of Oddmall, 2 days of entertainment, 2 costume contests. This year we've got the Kid Cave going on with Arts and Crafts and Ken's mom.
Yes.
Your mom.
Yep. My mama.
Your mama is going to be there. Kylan Tolles was kind enough to set us up with some panels, with some interesting panelists in the panels. That's who goes to panels.
That's right.
We have art workshops. My girl Rebecca Turk, she's doing a hand puppet, like a glove puppet, and a sock puppet making workshop, one each day. There's going to be some supernatural panels, not about the TV show, but about ghosts and ghouls and spooky things, by the Ohio researchers of the Banded Spirits, whatever that means. Are Banded Spirits like spirits you've like caught and then you put a little tag on their ear or something?
No, they're more musical than others.
They're in a band. Okay. Not the Band-Aid Spirits. That's something completely different. That'd be kind of a neat thing, just as an aside. You know how genies are found in lamps?
Yeah.
And occasionally in toothpaste tubes.
Right.
What if you had a story where someone peels off a Band-Aid and a genie like comes out of the wound that was left behind them? Like it
scab
rips the
genies?
Right, like the Band-Aid rips the scab off, which actually happened to me because I have this burn on my hand. It happened to me a few weeks ago. And, like, no genie came out of my hand. But wouldn't that be a cool story?
That does sound like a story you should write.
A scab genie. I'm going to write that. I mean, okay, scab genie is now a thing.
Scab genie.
All right, so you were asking about Oddmall, though.
Yes.
Over 140 vendors, right? Let that sink in a little bit.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. 140.
Yeah.
It's about half as many as we have at the Akron show. That show's almost sold out, guys. So
that is awesome.
If you want to be a vendor, we have 200.
Have you sold out that show before?
We sold out last year.
Okay.
Last May, and we're on track to sell out again. So any vendor, potential vendors out there. Yeah, we're a sellout.
We're
sellouts. Selling out. But Odd Mall Expedition Elsewhere / Dream World's Con next Saturday at the Canton Museum of Art / Cultural Arts Center / Ken Rose Appreciation Foundation / Don Toll's Arm Wrestling Tournament / I don't know, whatever else.
I'll set something up on a table.
In addition, here's something cool we got going on. Since it's Valentine's Day, right? Yeah, let's hear it for Valentine's Day. Woo, 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 woo.
We're married. We don't celebrate
same
anymore.
Jazz we had going on last year. We've got special made Odd Mall Valentine cards, which the first, I don't know, 1,000 or so people to come in the door will get one for free. And the vendors will have little boxes on their table, just like you did back in third grade. And you give your Valentine to your favorite artist. Whoever has the most Valentines wins a prize. Or if you're sneaky, you can keep the Valentine for yourself. You know, it's all good.
And I believe Corey won last year because everyone loves chocolate pretzels.
Yeah.
Especially on Valentine's Day.
It's like everyone was giving him because of the chocolate-covered
right.
pretzels.
I wonder if he was like, give me your Valentine and I'll hook you up. You know,
knowing him,
Corey's always Corey, got the hook. Yeah,
is Corey giving out free pretzels in exchange for Valentine's?
That's right.
Hey, the first one's always free.
You know, Corey's also like Crystal's boyfriend, and she has access to the box of Valentine's. So,
hey, now
you know, I'm not implying anything.
There was no vote rigging involved.
That's right. I don't know.
Vote early and often.
No, I'm gonna have a commission look into it.
Recount.
Right, I'll hire Crystal to look into it. Right. So anyway, but here's super huge, big Odd Mall news, as we may have mentioned in the past. A new Odd Mall show. We talked about it. Dawn is not a fan. She's not on board. She thinks I'm being too greedy. She doesn't want to come. But the rest of you, everyone but Dawn. Odd Mall Riverside Ramble will be happening May 20th at Stadium Park in Canton. 320 vendor booths available.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
We've got food trucks, at least 9 spaces for food trucks, outdoor celebration of fun. There's going to be badminton and croquet and frisbee, Ken
and
Rose
cube.
Kissing booth.
The
Cube Club will be there. Now, if you guys recall us talking about this last May or so, we did an event last June with the Country Cube Association.
Something like that.
Yeah. My boy Neil Weekland runs it. And it was a blast. It was so much fun. We learned how to play Cube, which is a... I'm not really sure if the history of it is true or not. I heard it was
supposed
actually
to be a Viking sport.
Right, but I heard it was actually invented in like 1930 or something. But, but you know, it's inspired anyway.
Based on something that happened.
Maybe it was invented in Norway. I don't know. But anyway, it's a fun game where you throw wooden things at other wooden things.
I don't know if I see Ivar playing this game.
I don't know. The Boneless?
That's right.
Right. But anyway, it's a fun game. And they're having their annual tournament at Oddball. And the soccer field. So last time we went, and we had like maybe 20 vendors in this bed and breakfast field area that was back in the woods and no one knew it existed.
Yeah.
So this time, we're like, we got to do this right. So the city of Canton is kind enough to help us sponsor this. They're providing police officers and all kinds of stuff, closing down the road for us.
Oh, nice.
And it's going to be huge. And I inspire everyone to be there. Because booths, a 10 by 10 booth. Guess how much a 10 foot by 10 foot booth is at the show? Would you expect like $300, $500?
At least $350.
Seriously, you go to a show that's a 9-hour show with this kind of attendance, this many vendors. What are you expecting to pay for a booth? $500?
Actually, we do shows. So this the size 800. Of what Odd Mall actually is, legitimately, with Vicky and I, since we do outdoor shows and stuff, that's for one day show, what, about $100-$120 for the amount of people that you pull
it's
for a show.
Usually more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, more considerably that, more so. Than that. I'm thinking $9,000 a booth.
Oh, yeah.
But Odd Mall, you hear this. Okay, this is where it's going to blow your mind. Make sure that his release valve is because, all right, normally a booth at a show like this costs you anywhere between $12,000 and like a dollar. But what we have going on as a special bargain, if you register for your booth before February 13th, which is next Monday, I don't know when this show's going live, hopefully before then.
Yeah.
If you're at Odd Mall this coming weekend, you will be able to sign up there. But $75.
Wow.
Nice.
$75. Wow. That's it. $75 on Monday, the 13th, which is also a very great man's birthday. You may have heard of him. His name is me. My birthday is that day. And in celebration of my birthday, I'm raising the price $20. So it's $95 into perpetuity.
Happy
until
birthday
May 20th.
To me.
But if you sign up before that Monday, February 13th, $75. That's it. Nice. So you got that on you. I know you do. Right?
Oh, that's just walking around money.
That is. Yeah, and, right. I mean, you make a few sales, you got it. You know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying? But anyway, I'm just, well, as you can tell, I'm super excited about this show. Our show in May 6th and 7th in Akron, that is going to be a bomb show. And bomb in a good way. It's not, you know how some words have a definition that's the opposite of another definition of that same word?
Yes.
Like dust or cleave?
That's right.
Bomb is kind of that way, too. Like, that show's the bomb, or that show's going to bomb. They mean the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. Regardless, this show is going to be the bomb, as they say. It will be all that and a bag of chips. Maybe even a Dr. Pepper.
Which you could probably buy at the concession stand.
Yes, you could, for a reasonable price of only $1.99. All right. So, anyway, I appreciate you guys letting me spout on about Oddmall. Of course, Geek Watch 1, sans Dawn, will be in attention. I was going to ask you, actually, and I can, might as well do it on air. I was impressed with the setup at the book fair yesterday, the reading festival. We can provide more space if you guys want to bring, like, a buns load of books. And maybe we can get Shelly and Sarah and Peeps to help man the booth. And we could provide, like, a domain of free books.
Sure, we can look into it. We've always got the books.
I mean, we could bring literacy to the masses. The masses. Also, this is another Oddmall-related thing. I know we don't get political on Geek Watch once. This isn't really political. I'm not going to say anything about anybody. I'm just saying, last Tuesday, or maybe it was Monday, I can't remember, I was feeling like, you know, we need to do some good in the world. So I made an announcement that said every cent, 100% of what we earn today selling Oddmall booze, I'm going to donate to the ACLU. And we just donated about $720 to the ACLU.
Sweet.
So, you know, if you like the ACLU, you can be like, yeah, awesome. If you don't like them, you can be like, eh, whatever.
Well, you actually, the from here, we're actually moving into the political realm, kind of, because we're talking to a politician, technically.
Yes.
Word.
we got coming up. Now, Dawn, you and Kylan talked to Len about the, or in the interview, why don't you tell Geeksters about who this guy is a little bit? You guys talked a lot about who he is on the show. So why don't you set this up a little bit before we get in the interview?
Well, back on January 24th, I believe it was, there was a councilman in San Jose, California.
He's still there.
City council, who was sworn in, and it would have been an innocuous, unnoticed little thing. Except he decided to bring along his replica Captain America shield and, shall we say, wield the shield during his swearing in before the city council meeting. And it went viral. That photo got a lot of coverage. It went to a lot of places. He got coverage on CNN. He was interviewed by the Washington Post, a few other places. And so Kylan decided that we had to get this man on the show because
Kylan scoured everywhere, did all kinds of research trying to figure out how to get a hold of this.
Yes.
Made 27 different calls to 27 different people. And how did you find him?
Those aren't alternate facts at all. You know, basically,
I just typed in his name and saw the name,
saw phone number,
cross reference, and said this guy would be the guy, and I called.
And you know, city council members can be busy people, so Kylan had to make a couple calls before he actually got through to him and talk to him about coming on the show and talking about his geek, not getting into political matters and that kind of thing, because we didn't want to put anyone out of sorts or anything. So we just wanted to talk about his geek and what inspired him to share his geek with the world in a way by doing this for his swearing in. And so we had a chat with San Jose City Councilman Len Diep, and this is that interview.
What inspired you to bring out your shield for your, I guess this was your final swearing in, right? Because there are three swearing in ceremonies, and so I understand that you've done the first two. And so this was your final swearing in. So what inspired you to bring your shield out for that?
Right. So let me clarify on the swearing in issue. The term for my the yearly I have a 4-year term, and that started in January. So the swearing in ceremony that everyone has seen with the Captain America shield, that happened on January 24th or 25th. It was a Tuesday. And, you know, I had already been swearing before that. My first swearing in was in December. It was, you know, intimate with my family and a few supporters. It was just really quick. That was the one that made me official. So I was ready on January 1st to serve the city of San Jose. Then on January 14th, I did a public swearing in where I invited members of the community and I got sworn in before everyone. And that was really special too. The one that everyone has seen that has made it into the news was my third swearing in. And that was, you know, before my very first council meeting. So as a tradition, before you take the dais and you make your votes for the city council, you swear in before everybody who's there. And so this was my third swearing-in ceremony. It was redundant. It was, unnecessary. It was more ceremonial than official. So I thought I'd have a little fun with it. I've had this Captain America shield for a few years now. I think at least 2 years. And it's been sitting in my closet. It's not something that a grown man carries around. But I thought this shield is a symbol of the flag. You know, it's stars and stripes. It's red, white, and blue. It's like wearing a flag pin on your lapel, but larger. So I thought I'd have some fun with it. I brought it out to bring a moment of levity to the moment, but also to just kind of create a bit of spectacle, remind people that government can be fun and should be fun. And that's pretty much why I did it. It wasn't there wasn't any greater meaning beyond that.
Were you surprised that it got picked up the way it did and kind of went viral and you got so much coverage out of it?
Yes, that was super surprising to me. I was not intending for that to happen. I didn't think it would happen. I mean, first of all, who the hell watches city council meetings? So, I mean, that's one. But I'm hoping by doing that kind of thing, more people get interested and learn about local government. But I know that a lot of people don't watch it. So the fact that the news picked up on it and I got into, you know, the Washington Post and you guys heard about it and are curious about it, that just blows me away. Secondly, I was involved in a really contentious campaign. I ran for this seat last year in a special election. I lost by 13 votes. And then I came back this year and then I won by 12 against the guy who beat me last year. So there was a recount that the county paid for. There was a recount that my opponent paid for. And right now, there's still litigation with an election challenge because wow. He doesn't think that I actually won. So given all of that drama and given how little coverage that I got out of that, I didn't think at all that carrying a shield into a swearing in would create the newsworthy headlines that it did.
Well, it sounds like you've gotten support about this shield and your geekness from your fellow council members and the mayor even.
Yeah, everyone has been really kind about it. They've joked with me. It's the people who I don't know and who send random comments anonymously online that have been less nice.
Well, you know, we're geeks. We understand about getting teased.
Did you have a particular, are you in? Well, we know that you were into comics ever since you were in third grade. Having such a busy schedule, do you still make time to read or along with guests collecting memorabilia as well?
I have a few pieces of memorabilia, but I don't know that I'm a full-on collector. I have the shield. I have a piece of kryptonite under glass. I have a Ghostbusters ghost trap. Like those kind of things that let me feel like I'm actually in the movie or actually in the comic or get to be the actual character.
Understood.
And then of course I still collect comics, but I don't look for the next thing that comes out and save up money to buy it. It's I buy it on a whim.
Right.
If I see something really cool, I'll make the purchase. Right. But I'm not looking through catalogs looking for the next best thing. I wouldn't have the money for that.
No,
we all wish we did.
Oh, because I remember when the shield came out. And, you know, I'm looking and, you know, it came in an SSR box, you know, with a crate, and I'm just like, oh, that'd be so awesome. And I'm like, I don't know where I would put it, you know, but it was,
right.
You know, but you are planning on hanging your shield in your office, though. I think that, you know, like, I think that's awesome that it's, like, it can serve as, like I said, the larger equivalent of a flag pin, you know, except it's, you know, a shield, you know, so.
Right, right.
So if you're still into comics, what are some of your favorites, like with characters and titles?
You know what's interesting? I mean, Captain America and Superman are the two characters I think that you can set your moral compass by. The shield was appropriate, I think, in a political context because it's red, white, and blue, and it represents the flag. It wasn't like, you know, I brought Aquaman's trident in there. But honestly, like, I read more DC than I do Marvel. I'm going to be forever associated with Captain America.
Right.
You know, I read a lot more Superman, some Batman, I read Spider-Man. Depending on who's writing, I'll read the Justice League and Avengers. So it really changes on the storyline. I used to just pick a book and read it as a kid because I liked the character. And then as I got older, I realized, you know, every few months the writers swap out and the tone changes and the adventures change. So I got less obsessed about, you know, having every single issue of every of that comic and more about just looking at the writers and seeing what interesting storylines and crossovers there are. So depending on the week, I'll buy different things.
Do you have like a specific comic shop you go to with a pull list, or do you just kind of swing by and pick up based on the writers and that?
I go to Black Cat Comics in Milpitas, California. So cool. If people go there on Wednesdays, they may see me from time to time. Shout out to Mark and Franny. I used to have a pull list, but then I started running out of places to put my comics. So, and then like things happened, like, what was it? The Spider-Man One More Day happened, and then I got upset and I refused to buy Spider-Man. And then DC Rebirth happened. Or was it Rebirth? No, DC New 52 happened. I got upset and I refused to buy DC.
Understandable.
For a while. So I use that as an excuse to kind of stop pulling. But then things, you know, I would read still the comic book websites and you know, kind of get a sense of the storylines and how they were changing. And so I came back recently, maybe like 6 months or a year ago. And I've just been kind of sampling by seeing what's on the shelves and buying a day of. I haven't gotten back to a pull list because I'm afraid that I don't have the space. Although now I still have a stack of books. I just feel better about, you know, being able to choose each week as opposed to like each week having a set like 10, 20 books that I get.
Right. Well, how about movies? Are you a fan of the MCU, or are you liking what the DC is doing with their cinematic universe?
I am a fan of the Marvel movies, less so of the DC movies. It depends on which movie. I mean, as far as universes go, I feel I'm much more of a DC guy than a Marvel guy. The DC guys, the heroes, are iconic. They're the heroes that you aspire to be. Batman, the height of you know, the epitome of what a human could be if he dedicates himself to a mission. Superman, and he's an alien, but he's the most human among us because he, you know, has the values of a small farm in Kansas, and he chooses to protect us rather than go out and use his powers to rule over us. You know, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, these are people that have a strong sense of self, and they go out and they do right by the world. But I think, you know, it's tough to write those characters. And the appeal of the Marvel characters to me is that they're flawed, you know.
Yes.
Even Captain America, he's this moral heavyweight, but he's a man out of time. He's struggling to fit in. He's, the world around him has changed, and he's trying to find his place. Iron Man is a hero, but he's also an alcoholic. You know, Hulk is a guy with anger issues. And so that to me, you know, is less some, I mean, do I really want to be Hulk? Do I really want to have this thing where every time I get mad, I Hulk out? Maybe not, right?
Right.
Do I really want to be like Wolverine where like, you know, sometimes like, you know, claws like come through my skin and it hurts and like I'm a loner and, you know, I can't die and I've seen so much and I'm just always lonely all the time? Maybe not. But I think the moral ambiguity of those characters make them more interesting to write.
Right.
And so I struggle because I like DC characters. The Marvel storylines tend to be maybe a bit more interesting.
Right.
But in recent years, I feel like DC is trying to become Marvel by making their characters kind of less iconic and more morally ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like Superman dark and brooding.
Right.
You know, every character shouldn't be Batman. They should inspire. They should be bright. And, you know, I liked Superman Returns. I didn't like as much Superman Man of Steel.
Right.
Or Batman versus Superman, for that matter.
Right.
So I don't know. I feel like DC is trying to become Marvel. And, you know, you're never going to beat Marvel at that game. You got to beat DC.
Right.
And I don't know. So I'm conflicted right now. But as far as the movies go, Marvel is awesome. DC, I think, you know, has issues to work through. But, you know, there are good movies, like The Dark Knight. That was awesome.
Yes, yes. I agree.
Do you get any of the television, like any of the either the DC shows that they show on, like, CW or the Marvel shows on Netflix? Do you get involved in any of those?
Yeah, sure. So with the campaign, I'm probably a season behind a lot of these shows. But yeah, I watched Flash, Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., seen Daredevil, and what was it, Alias? Is it Alias?
Jessica Jones.
That's not the show. Jessica Jones. And, you know, I haven't seen the, I'm blanking. I haven't seen
Cage?
The newer one.
Luke Cage?
Yeah, I haven't seen Luke Cage.
Okay.
But, so I'm somewhat current, and I like them. I like them all. I think they're fun. I did a bit of Supergirl, but I haven't really followed up with that. So
now, since these are all comic book stuff we're talking about, do you get into any other kind of fandoms outside of comics? Like you talked about having the Ghostbusters trap, that kind of thing.
I'm not a. I don't dress up and go to like cons and stuff. So there's not that. I mean, I enjoy the characters. I like kind of pretending that, like, you know, we actually live in this world. You know, somewhere out there in Detroit, there's a RoboCop, really. You know, there's extraterrestrial stuff you really can call the Ghostbusters. You know, somewhere in our sewers are Ninja Turtles. I kind of, you know, it's fun to kind of imagine that and just kind of go with the conceit of kind of all these magical and extras terrestrial things around us, but it's more imaginary and just reading in the comics. I don't know what else there is in terms of fandom that I participate in.
Okay.
So no.
Right.
Now, obviously, do you think this really would have gone anywhere? You're holding the shield and getting the recognition in this way. Do you think it would have gone anywhere if the whole geekdom wasn't so mainstream like it is now? I mean, it seems to be a little more acceptable everywhere.
You know, that's an interesting question. The geeks shall inherit the earth, and it's definitely they've definitely become more mainstream in recent years with all the blockbuster movies and stuff. I do think even without the geekdom, well, first of all, this is me thinking after the fact. Like, before I did it, I did not expect any of this. So,
right.
But since you posed the question, I think it still would have happened. And it's less because of the geeks and more because of our current president. And people looking for signs of resistance. And now I didn't intend it as that.
Right.
But a lot of people have, you know, reached out and, you know, said I was a hero. I was really ballsy. I was really brave for doing that. And they took it as kind of, a symbol of hope that, you know, that a Vietnamese guy would hold the shield as Captain America and, you know, kind of say to the world that America means different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just your traditional imagined image of what American is. An Asian guy can be Captain America too.
Yes.
Right.
I've gotten that. I've gotten, you know, questions about what I think about the executive orders and, you know, my parents are refugees. So I think refugees come here and are given an opportunity, and they're extremely thankful, and they do what they can to pay back what was given to them, and they do what they can to make the country stronger and better. I know that that's the case in my family. I went to school. My parents got federal assistance. They took care of me and my brother. I went on to law school. I joined AmeriCorps. I've helped people with my law degree. I ran for office to serve. And so I'm just one person. I know there are a bunch of other folks, too. So whether it was Vietnamese people like 40 years ago or Syrian refugees today, I think 40 years from now, when you see those folks, they're going to have done a lot of great things for this country. And I think America's strongest when it's compassionate and it's not afraid. You know, evil lurks out there, but you stand up to it. You don't shut down and turn your back to it and just kind of cower. So I think people looked at the shield as a for hope in that sense, too. I also got a lot of backlash from people who just wanted to make comments. People thought that I swore on the shield instead of a Bible.
Oh, okay.
So they thought it was me making an anti-religious statement,
oh,
which is not true.
No.
I was holding the shield. I wasn't swearing on the shield.
Right.
Even without the shield, all you would have done was raise your right hand and repeat after the clerk. It's like taking the oath in Boy Scouts or whatever.
Right.
So there was no decision on my part to say, you know what, I'm not going to say no to the Bible and swear on the shield. That didn't happen. Even without the shield, there would be no Bible.
Right.
I think even without geekdom, it would have made the news. Maybe not. It would have gone as far as it has.
Right.
But I still think people would have paid attention, given what the reactions I've seen.
Well, I will say that the image of you taking the oath, holding the shield. For a split second, I could have sworn I saw Steve Rogers standing there. Because you had a very Steve Rogers look going on. So, thumbs up. This is from a Marvel guy. And I guess my next question is, what is the most surprising coverage that you've gotten out of this?
Aside from the fact that it went viral at all.
Right.
The most surprising coverage. What do you mean?
Well, like out of everything you've seen and all the people who have contacted you because of this, what kind of surprised you the most out of it or perhaps was the most interesting thing you saw come out of it?
So let me see. The Mercury News in San Jose was the outlet that broke the news. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I have a special kind of place in my heart for that story because every other outlet that wrote picked up from that one and started to snowball. I really liked the CNN piece on it because it was really geeky as well.
Right.
It had like all these superhero references.
Right.
You know, the city of San Jose is just sworn a superhero, sort of. Move over, Captain America. There's a new hero in town, and instead of taking names or whatever, he's taking an oath or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the Washington Post story I liked a lot because that reporter, you know, called me up and he was a geek. You know, we had a good conversation, and then he wrote more in depth about what happened, and he got some background. A lot of the other outlets just kind of read the other stories and they kind of rewrote it
right.
without actually talking to me.
Right.
So it's kind of the same story written in different ways and using other people's quotes that they took from me. So I would say those are my favorite stories. And the Hollywood Reporter, wrote a story and they asked me about the political climate. And I think that was kind of cool because it was more about it was more in-depth policy discussion as opposed to just, so you had a shield. but I guess the surprise for me would be how much people project on to what I did. You know, again, I don't want to make it seem like I gave this a lot of forethought and there was some super deep meaning to what I did. I just wanted people to pay attention and I wanted people to realize that government can be fun. And, if they keep following my career, hopefully to look for, the fun things that I do or the comments I make, along the way to wait for those things. In between, they have to listen to a lot of policy discussion. And eventually, hopefully, the policy stuff becomes more interesting to them than the kind of things that I may do. So that was really my hope. But they were, when people asked, they asked, well, were you protesting the president? Or, were you making a comment about,
about secretarianism, about not about, you know, a comment against religion, stuff like that. So they project onto me what they want, and that has been the most interesting thing to me.
Well, I can tell you, we just like the fact that we see the geek being open and obvious in that way. We just, all of us love that.
Hey, you know, and we love that we found a way to take your fandom and incorporate it into something that people would not normally equate a geeky fandom with. And I think at the same time, you kind of help send a message that politics can and should be accessible to everyone. I hope that not only that may, in addition to inspiring people to be, I guess, more or who they are, that, you know, that they will be more active and, you know, maybe reach out to you and be more active in local government.
Yeah, I think that, you know, has happened, and I've been really touched by a lot of the comments of people reaching out, not to just say that, you know, I inspired them or they wish that I represented them. But some people who wrote me and said, hey, you know, thank you for reminding me that it's not about what side of the fence you are on politically. If you can believe in the ideals of Captain America, it's, you know, that's something greater that unites all of us. And it shouldn't be about party. It should be about country and all of us wanting to do whatever we can, to make America this compassionate and strong place, the ideals that Captain America believes in. And that's been really touching. And I want to, you know, thank all the folks who sent messages on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, send me emails. That has really been this kind of amazing experience that I feel that I've become a touchstone for a moment in time, and that I'm part I'm a part of something greater. And that is such a gift. So thank you to everyone, yourselves included, who have reached out to let me feel that.
Absolutely, and thank you for the time you've given us. We've gone far over what we were talking about earlier, but but it's been awesome talking to you. Now, where can people find you on Facebook and Twitter, and just give us your contact information for people who want to follow you and maybe contact you?
Yeah, sure. So if you want to find me on Twitter, I have two accounts. I have an official account for work, which is probably uninteresting to people who don't live in San Jose. And I also have my personal account, which is maybe more of a backstage look at what it's like to be in office and just kind of my own observations. That one is LTDIEP on Twitter at LTDIEP, which is my last name. First initial, middle initial, and then last name. And then on Facebook, facebook.com/LunForSanJose, LANFORSANJOSE. And so you can just kind of follow me along there. I'm also on Instagram, again, at LTDIEP, if you're curious. So, and you can always shoot me a message on Facebook or whatever, and I'll respond.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for your time with us today. We really appreciate it.
So that was Lundy. All you guys heard how to get a hold of him if you actually have any questions for him or anything.
And he's great to follow on Twitter. He's actually had a few kind of cute geek-related tweets lately.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's got the personal one, he's got the official one, so it's probably a little better for most people to follow the personal one.
Yeah.
And we're definitely going to keep track of...
Oh, yeah, we're going to keep in touch with him and maybe get him back on the show at some point later on and see how he's doing and how he's doing with his geek. I mean, because what city councilman isn't huge... Really far up in the government,
right.
But it's still a very busy job. Depending on the in San Jose, we were talking probably estimated it's you've probably
300,000
been in that direction.
Citizens.
So yeah. It's probably somewhere between like Akron and Cleveland size.
Yeah. But 300,247 as of yesterday.
Okay. See, Andy's our wealth of knowledge.
That's right.
Gerald Clemens unfortunately passed away this morning.
But then someone had his.
I was going to say Yolanda was born.
What? Yolanda was born.
Well, it would have been like six kids. So
there's a little dispute over her last name, but Yolanda, because we know who the father is, but we don't know who the mother is. Yeah. She was born this morning.
But there's six
at 9:17 a.m. So that raised the population up by one to make up for Gerald Clemens' unfortunate passing.
Dead a litter.
Yes.
So, Geeksters, what got me on this interview was he's a DC guy. He was carrying Captain America's shield, but he's a DC guy through and through.
And
that was
fantastic.
Like
he said, he's always going to be identified with Captain America now, but
he's my hero now. He's my hero because Captain America and Superman is his two favorites. It's like, dude, yeah, you got
me. There you go.
He's my man. Yeah, that's awesome. So, but Geeksters, I want to thank you for sitting in. Andy, thanks for hanging out with us for the show today.
It was my pleasure, sir.
And remember, Geeksters, you can always find us at GeekWatch1.com. That's for everything and anything GeekWatch1. On all social media, this Dawn has us as GeekWatch1. You can always also send us an email, GeekWatch1@gmail.com. And I believe that's all of it. So anything else from Kylan and Dawn
before
we wrap this up? Miss Vicky, did you have anything else before we wrap this up?
No, I'm just getting ready for Oddmall.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a great time at Oddmall. Once again, you guys are going to probably get the drowsy, tired GeekWatch 1 next week, because that's what we end up doing at the end of the show. But, Andy, did you have anything else you want to hit on real quick?
Yeah, I do. I saw on the internet that if you put a jar of peanut butter upside down, you store it in your cabinet upside down, it doesn't separate, so you don't have that layer of oil on top and then have to mix it up.
Okay.
But it occurred to me that if you do that, the layer of oil is just going to be on the top, which will be the bottom of the jar when you flip it over, which means the top layer that you're scooping for your toast is going to be dry.
It's almond butter. It's going to be dry anyways.
Well, I'm talking about peanut butter. Right? So I'm just saying 95% of those life hacks you read on the internet are dangerous. So stay in school. Don't do drugs. Don't pay attention to the internet.
Don't put a fork.
Don't pay attention to the internet.
Yeah. Well, pay attention to parts of the internet, but don't pay attention to, you know, when someone says, "Have your peanut butter jar upside down in the kitchen." You know, I'm just saying.
You have to make sure the lid's on tight.
Well, I guess what I'm really saying is make these decisions for yourself. What works for someone else doesn't necessarily work for you. Maybe the person that posted that life hack likes dry peanut butter.
So what you're saying
and,
is...
And one, the most important thing I'm really trying to say... Why don't you say what you're saying?
So what you're saying is that the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
That's right.
What might be right for you might not be right for some.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
That's right. Exactly. But what I'm really trying to say is...
Live from New York!
No.
We are the geeks you're looking for! Well, and with that, just remember...
No matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.